Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Well, hello, and welcome to the show. We're so glad you could join us this evening. You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network core team. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff, and this is show number 641, and today is Monday, March 5th, 2018.
And I am your co-host, Courtney Shepherd. We have a great show planned for you this evening. Our featured guest tonight is Susan Miller, author of After the Boxes Are Unpacked, and But Mom, I Don't Want to Move. Susan has been bringing hope for the uprooted women for more than 20 years. Visit Susan's website at www.justmoved.org, or you may connect with Susan in social media through the Just Moved Facebook page at Just Moved Ministry and on Twitter at Susan Just Moved. Coming up in a few minutes, our News 6 Charlotte will be calling in with your need-to-know news, and coming up later in the show is our monthly Money Health from Army Medicine.
Listeners, tonight Susan Miller is giving away two copies of her book, After the Boxes Are Unpacked, and two copies of But Mom, I Don't Want to Move. So be sure to listen for our winners to be announced later in the show from among the entries we received on our Facebook post earlier today. If you're listening to our show live right now, just as a reminder, we would love for you to join us in our show discussion that's currently taking place over on Twitter. You can comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with us. Head over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate. All the links mentioned in the show tonight will be posted in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, MetLife. Military spouses do so much for their families. That's why they need life insurance. Enroll today. Learn more at www.militarybenefit.org or call 1-877-MBA-1020.
Well, Courtney, it's great to be hosting with you tonight. So how's life in the Shepherd household?
Yes, good to be hosting with you too. Wow, the Shepherd household is busy and chaotic and crazy, and I'm pretty positive that my three-year-old has done lost her mind. they haven't been able to survive independently for longer than half an hour maybe, so I'm currently on that struggle bus, and I've been riding that bus for about a week and a half now. We're just kind of hanging in there. Deployment is rolling. So this is our second deployment, and it feels a little different than the first one, I'll admit. And that's weird to say because I feel like this one is harder, oddly enough, because, you know, you would think that the first one would be more difficult because it was my first one. But the second one, I don't know, there's something about the second one. We have more children this time. I'm closer to home. We're stationed closer to home. So, I don't know, maybe being around family makes me miss him that much more.
That's a good observation. That may be.
I think that's what it is. Like, there's so many different emotions with this deployment. And I think, military-wide that, you know, spouses and with deployments, I think their feelings change with each one. Now that I'm experiencing my second one, I realize that now. And the first one, you kind of are nervous. You don't know what to expect. But the second, you kind of know what to expect, but you're still nervous. And then you're trying to convince yourself that you've got it, you know, that you can hold down the fort and not burn the house down. And that's pretty much my goal every day, is to just don't burn the house down, keep the kids alive, maybe take a shower. The floors will get cleaned eventually. We're just going to work on that. So, yeah.
Right.
How are things going with you?
Going great. I was going to say to remember self-care and that, you know, the time, you can't get back the time with your kids. So that's
right.
One thing that I wish I could tell my younger mom self is that you can't get that time back. So the dishes could wait while, you know, maybe you color with them more, take them to the park, or, you know, just the things that I wish I would have done more with my kids when they were younger. And I wish I could go back and do, you know, thankfully there's grandparenting where you get to kind of have a do-over. That's why grandparents are usually so awesome, is because we're doing those things we wish we would have done as younger parents.
For sure, but, for sure. I mean, I'm only in my 20s, so I'm not there yet. But you know, I think that self-care is probably the most important thing that has helped me get through this far. And I think it's probably that and just the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, knowing that he's going to come home, and I just have to remind myself of that. My anxiety will push past all of it if I can just remember those things. Self-care, and he is coming home, you know, so.
Right. Right. And so what does self-care look like to you?
So I'm not technically a creature of habit when it comes to self-care. I have to change it up. So it's like maybe a bubble bath this time and then a good book with the window open another time, or just a giant, like I've got this one coffee cup that's like the size of my head. So I will fill it to the very brim to where that sucker may overflow, right? So I will fill it.
Love
you
that.
Know, maybe that's just an extra dose of coffee is self-care. It changes. I think dipping my toes into different kinds of self-care really keeps me relaxed, because I'm like, oh, I haven't had a bubble bath in a while. And then, oh, I haven't had this much coffee running through my veins. Maybe I should put it in an IV, you know? So it's like dipping my toes in different kinds of self-care really makes it feel that much better than, you know, the last time I took a bubble bath or the last time I read a good book. So, yeah.
That's great. Well, I asked that because on, you know, we started AWN Table Talk, and our current series, you know, it goes live on Facebook every other Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And our topic has been deployment. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we discussed on the last Table Talk was self-care. And so
yeah.
I'm kind of the same way. I tend to have a different, what I need may change, you know, with the day even. So it might be that coffee in the morning, or getting up early for quiet time, or spending time in a Bible study, or going out with friends and just having lunch or something like that. So it kind of changes. And so I was curious
right.
to know what you're and what it looks like for you, and if I'm just the only one that it changes.
Oh no. I am like a firm believer in changing it up, like, because it keeps you on your toes, and then you look more forward to it because it doesn't feel like a have to. It's like, oh, I haven't had a bubble bath in like 3 weeks, so I'm really looking forward to that bubble bath tonight, you know? So that's what I like about changing it up. So.
Oh, so true. So true.
Yeah, Table Talk has been awesome, especially for on deployment.
We've really enjoyed doing that, the other two ladies, Tracy and Wendy and I, and we have a blast doing that. And it just started just like that. Just we'd go out to lunch or for coffee, and we'd just start chatting about, you know, different topics and how we dealt with them, you know, as new friends getting to know each other. And we was like, we need to just take this on the air and maybe it would help others. And so it's been so much fun. And the feedback that we're getting from our viewers is exciting too, because I love hearing everybody else's, you know, their tips, you know, what they do for self-care or to, you know, what do they do with the kiddos so that they can have some time alone. And so we're already planning out our April and May shows. And so we're super excited about that. And then over, you know, March 30th is Good Friday. And so we'll be taking a break and spending the day with our families. However, we've already recorded an interview with an active duty soldier and Army wife. Her name is Courtney Carmona, and she's going to be sharing with us about her life as a dual military spouse and kind of sharing what it feels like to be on both ends of it. It kind of gives us her perspective of what it feels like to be the spouse that's deployed. So we're excited to air that on March 30th. But, well, Courtney, speaking of deployments and all of the sacrifices that we make as military spouses, this week on the AWN blog, our blog editor, assistant, and blog contributor, Sarah Peachy, pens a sincere note of appreciation in which she identifies that we've sacrificed our careers, our roots, time away from our extended families, consistency, and the ability to plan ahead. We accept the job of solo parent, like Courtney's talking about tonight, and helpmate, all while harnessing the burden of household duties on our own shoulders. The journey of a military spouse isn't easy, and struggling military spouse, we see you. Head over to Sarah's heartfelt post on our AWN blog at armywifenetwork.com to the struggling military spouse, we see you.
As Army Wives, we strive to maintain whatever sense of normalcy we can at home while our soldiers are called away, whether it's during a PCS, a deployment, a family vacation, or just a week of long hours at the office. We create routines and traditions in order to provide comfort and stability during times of craziness brought on by the Army. In her latest blog post, AWN contributor Amber McDonald realize that is what makes home a home and not just a house, not a neighborhood, not a town, not even memories. A home is where you and your family are. Read Amber's blog post, How I Discovered I Was Homeless, on our blog at armywifenetwork.com. And as a reminder, links to everything we've talked about tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed and in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. So, Crystal, what makes a house feel like a home to you and your family?
Good question. I would have to say family photos, you know, getting those hung on the wall right after PCS, and that just seems to personalize it, you know, more than maybe anything. And then I guess the other way that home feels, or a house feels like a home to me, is more relational. Just all my kids being under one roof and my husband being under one roof, you know, when any of them are gone, even just if they stay the night at a friend's house or when my husband's TDY or something, it just doesn't quite feel as homey, you know. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I think that this is such a good question. I think what makes a house feel like a home is Everyone being under one roof. You know, when my husband's home, my kids are at home, and we're all four of us are together, you know, even the dog, and we're all under the same roof. I think that's what makes it home. And it doesn't have to be in a house. It could be in a hotel. We all know what it feels like to PCS and be in lodging for like a week, right?
Right. If you're lucky, yeah, and it's just a week.
And then that hotel, yeah, you're lucky. That hotel room becomes home because you're all together, you know.
Right. So. Oh, that's so true. Well, listeners, we hope you'll make yourself at home and stick with us for the rest of the show, because we've got a great guest heading your way in just a few minutes. Susan Miller knows all too well what it means to be uprooted from one home and replanted in another, time and time again. She brings us a unique and hope-filled message that is to a community that is often uprooted by change. So be sure to stay tuned. It's time now for a short commercial break. Up next is our News 6 Charlotte, bringing us your need-to-know news. We'll be right back.
The government spends billions of dollars to protect the country. Protecting your family starts at $250 a month. Find out about life insurance from Military Benefit Association. Learn more now.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 Report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Charlotte on the line, bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Charlotte, what have you got for us this week?
Hi, Crystal and Courtney. This week, I'm following up and adding to a story I brought you in December regarding changes to TRICARE and the fallout beneficiaries are dealing with from these changes. On January 1st, TRICARE went from having three regions to two. The geographic area of TRICARE West didn't change, but the contractor changed to HealthNet Federal Services. TRICARE North and TRICARE South combined to form TRICARE East, with the contractor Humana Military, which previously had the contract for TRICARE South. The TRICARE West region includes the states of Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Idaho, Iowa, except the Rock Island Arsenal area, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, except the St. Louis area, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oregon, South Dakota, Texas, areas of western Texas only, Utah, Washington, and Wyoming. Along with the changes in contractors, TRICARE has undergone a number of other changes, including replacing TRICARE Standard and TRICARE Extra with a single plan dubbed TRICARE Select.
Awesome. Charlotte, what kind of problems are beneficiaries dealing with right now?
For the past 7 weeks, TRICARE beneficiaries in the West region have been facing widespread issues trying to get medical care. Families are facing problems getting referrals to specialists. They are also having trouble finding area doctors and other medical providers that are in the TRICARE network. They're experiencing enrollment delays, and they're waiting sometimes 45 minutes or more when they call customer service. According to a statement from the Defense Health Agency, Ken Kittestrini, the acting director of TRICARE Health of the TRICARE Health Plan stated, the DHA recognizes the issues with backlogs, call wait times, and the number of provider choices for beneficiaries in the West region. We are committed to working with the HealthNet Federal Services to resolve them in a timely manner. Service members, their families, and others enrolled in TRICARE expect high standards of service we set for our contracting partners. The Defense Health Agency has been working with the contractor HealthNet Federal Services to address the problems. At this time, the agency is allowing HealthNet to waive its usual authorization process for TRICARE Prime referrals in the West region through March 18th. If beneficiaries get a referral from their primary care provider, they can download a referral and authorization letter, then seek outpatient specialty care services that are covered by TRICARE. These waiver approvals are valid for services received through June 15th.
Charlotte, issues like this can be really hard for families. Are these issues affecting only clinics and doctor's offices?
No. Karen Rudisuli, the Deputy Director of Government Relations for the National Military Family Association, stated that there are reports in some areas in the network, and some beneficiaries have asked, where did all the specialists go? She said it's hard to tell at this point how much of that is truly reflecting a network that has been decimated versus they haven't gotten the provider directories totally up and running.
Well, how are beneficiaries making their complaints known?
Well, besides complaining to the regional contractors directly, there have been complaints reported to the Military Times newspaper. In a post on TRICARE's public Facebook page, a referrals coordinator for an internal medicine clinic in Washington State said she had been diligent in providing HealthNet with credentials and contracting information for all of their providers well ahead of the January 1st transition. But as of a post she placed on Facebook on February 13th, they'd been told that HealthNet was behind on credentialing and unable to provide contracting information. As a result, she wrote, there are patients waiting to see oncologists, surgeons, et cetera, for life-threatening concerns that are forced to wait for referrals to be approved or see these specialists by paying for services out of their own pocket. She notes that when she calls to ask about referrals, there is a wait time of anywhere from 45 to 93 minutes.
Oh, goodness. Are the majority of these issues only affecting the West region? And what is HealthNet doing in the West region to resolve the problems?
On a much wider scale, yes, the majority of the issues have been in the West. The TRICARE East contractor, Humana Military, had similar customer service issues, but they've been able to resolve them much quicker. Currently, HealthNet is hiring additional temporary staff and cross-training at their call centers. There's also an enrollment backlog, partly because of the required system-wide three-week enrollment freeze in December. To address the enrollment backlog, HealthNet is allowing beneficiaries in TRICARE Prime, whose primary care manager isn't in the network or who haven't yet been assigned to one, to see any TRICARE-authorized PCM through March 31st. Point-of-service charges won't apply.
Awesome. Well, Charlotte, thanks so much for bringing us this story. Listeners, please stay tuned. After this short break, we will be talking with Susan Miller, who will share with us her message of hope for the uprooted woman. We will be right back.
We're more connected than ever before. 90% of America's students use some form of social media, but not all of it's used in a good way. Hurtful posts online are leading to social isolation for many. Psychologists say it's bullying in a brand new way. Well, Beyond Differences and I Keep Safe are looking to change that with ideas for students, their parents, and even teachers. Take the pledge to be kind online and learn more at wearekindonline.com.
Hi, this is Rick Moranis. You know, some people are more careful about what they feed their cars than what they feed their bodies. They know that the wrong fuel can hurt a car's performance and maybe ruin the engine. But the wrong food can have the same effect on your health. Too much fat, too many calories, and too little of what's good for you can affect how well you feel and even lead to serious illness. So eat right. It'll help you keep running smooth.
For more information, visit the Will Rogers Institute at wrinstitute.org or call toll-free 877-957-7575 and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners?
Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network.
ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available.
Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship
or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I am your co-host, Courtney Shepherd. Tonight, we have with us Susan Miller. Susan is the author of After the Boxes Are Unpacked. The accompanying After the Boxes Are Unpacked 12-session study and video series, After the Boxes Are Unpacked companion journal, and But Mom, I Don't Want to Move, all are available at justmovedshop.com. Susan is invited to speak throughout the U.S. and internationally at military installations, church conferences, corporate venues, and women's events. Having had a father, brother, and husband in the Air Force, Susan is well acquainted with military life and the challenges faced by military families. She knows what it means to be uprooted from one home and replanted in another time and time again. She brings us a unique and hope-filled message to a community that is often uprooted by change and loss.
As America's moving coach and founder of Just Moved Ministry, she has been a popular guest on radio, TV, and streaming programs that have addressed the emotional challenges and the opportunities for spiritual growth brought on by a major life change, especially a move. Her articles on this subject have appeared in many Christian publications in print and online. Susan has even hosted her own radio talk show, Just Moved. Established in 1995, Just Moved Ministry is a nonprofit global organization that offers spiritual and emotional resources for women who have moved or are facing other life transitions. Just Move Ministry resources are used by churches, neighborhoods, seminaries, military installations, and corporations that recognize the need to encourage the uprooted woman and her family. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Hey, 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 Crystal and Courtney. It's so wonderful to talk to both of you and your listening audience.
Well, it's so great to have you on, and it's great to hear your voice. Would you start off by telling us a little about yourself and where you're calling from this evening?
Well, I will. I would just love to have a cup of coffee with y'all. I have been listening in, and I wanted to jump in so much and just thought, oh, yeah, they're right on. Everything they're saying is so right. But I am an Air Force brat. My dad was career Air Force, and then my brother followed in his footsteps, and then so did my husband, Bill. And I have two grown children, six grandchildren. One of the things you might want to know about me but don't know is that I am a kickboxer. I love to kickbox.
Oh, hi.
And isn't that great? I've got a pink boxing gloves and pink shoes to match, and you know, just keeping it looking good. And then I love to ride Harleys. I'll never own one, I'll never drive one, but boy do I love to ride on the back of one. And what else? I love lattes. That's a little bit about me, and I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Gorgeous weather here.
Oh my goodness, I just love you.
Well, I love you. You know, I just feel like that we're family, you know, and I feel like that everybody that's listening in, you're all my people, and I love
right.
it.
Right. You also kind of make me feel a little bit more at home because I've got probably one of the thickest accents between the entire core team. Southern-wise, because I'm from Texas, but anyway.
Well, Yes, yes.
I tried to hide it for the show, but here we are. Anyways,
Let it loose, Courtney.
I'm sorry, let it loose? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to know about your moving background and how the ministry started for you.
Well, I tell you, the ministry started out of desperation. I had moved 14 times, and that was after Bill got out of the military. That was corporate moves. And, you know, I thought one more move and I'm going to throw up. You know, I just felt like there's got to be other women going through these feelings and emotions and just all this being uprooted. It's just, you know, the birds can do it, but not me, you know. And so I thought, I'm just going to check around and see if I can start a ministry using my own experience from 14 moves and the biblical principles that got me through each move, and turn this feeling of loneliness and isolation into an outreach to minister to other women going through the same thing. And that's how it got started. When we moved to Phoenix, I thought I was coming unglued, and I was held together with, I always laugh and say I was held together with rubber bands and paper clips. And, you know, so, hey, it just started out of desperation. I just needed someone to know that they were not alone out there in the midst of their move.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, you have ministered to me so much because we had you on the show about 2 years ago, and that's where I first read your book. And so I knew that one day, if the Lord ever opened the door, that I was going to, my heart was to facilitate an After the Boxes are Unpacked Bible study through PWOC. And I'm so excited because I'm doing that now where we're at in Hawaii. So I'm so excited. And we're starting, tomorrow is session 5. And,
oh, my goodness.
We're blessed to be doing your video series. And I love the example that you have where you pull out the old battered and worn suitcase. And after this last move, that I felt just like that.
Well,
I love that.
Well, you know, knowing that you and I have a history, Crystal, and have interviewed before, and knowing that you've read my book and then that you wanted to start a group, you don't know how that blesses me. I just thought I would stand on my desk and wave and shout my pom-poms. I was so excited. And, you know, it's just, it just binds us all the more. I've been to Schofield Barracks. I've been to Hawaii. I've spoken there, spoken at Hickam. You know, so to know that there's a class offered there that's just over the top. It really is. And I love my military spouses. I feel like with my military background and then my moving experiences in corporate, I have the best of both worlds to share what it's like and how to help someone that's been, you know, uprooted. So good for you. You go, girl.
Well, thank you, because I know from personal experience that you, like you were talking about, you have a huge outreach to military spouses. And the Bible study will continue on here because of a special ministry called Operation Hope. So would you tell us a little about Operation Hope and other ways that you encourage military spouses?
Absolutely. In addition to Operation Hope, which I'll tell you about, I encourage them one-on-one. I love my military women that contact me and, you know, that we can just talk through their issues or their heartache or their problem. I love doing retreats. In fact, I've got a big retreat coming up next month at Hunter Army Airfield in Georgia and Fort Stewart. And, you know, I just love ministering to them one-on-one at retreats and at conferences. And what our ministry does is we have donors that so believe in our outreach to the military that they sponsor Operation Hope, which enables a military installation to offer our study at no charge. And we ship free our Operation Hope kit, which, as you know, is the video series, the facilitator's guide, 6 copies of my book, and a pink pom-pom. I hope you got it, Crystal. And that's enough for a small group, you know, to start a small group. And so, you know, that is such a gift because that does not cost a military installation, you know, through a chapel or you know, all our material is Christ-centered and faith-based, and so, you know, to know that you can offer that at no cost is just something that is our gift. And then the other thing that our donors do is they sponsor me to fly free to any military installation that wants me to come and speak. In other words, they cover the cost of the air travel to and from, which is a huge blessing to me because I don't say no to any military invitation because that's my connecting point with military spouses. So that's Operation Hope, and we just have women that believe in what we do and the message of hope that we carry. So they make sure it gets wherever it's needed. Isn't that great? And you know that firsthand.
Yes. Oh, and it's been such a blessing, and it's so neat because I know that will continue. So, you know, we had our books already, but we weren't going to be able to do the video series, and then Operation Hope provided that for us, and then we have enough books for another class, hopefully next PWOC year. So that is such a blessing because it offers so much hope, and you identify so well with us, you know, and watching the videos is just adds that element because you come across as being so hopeful and uplifting and encouraging, and I just come away from each study feeling excited and I've got this, I can do it, and the next time my husband gets orders, I can do it again. I will just go back to the book for a third time.
Well, bless your heart. Bless your heart. And you know, that was my desire, is to give each of you hope and encouragement and to be your cheerleader and for you to know that someone understands you, gets you, and is, you know, praying for all of you. And I've been there, done that, and, you know, the T-shirt's long worn out. So, but that just to know that you take that, glean that from the study, it is just what it was designed to do. And, you know, moving is so difficult. A PCS is so difficult for women. And would you like to know why?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Well, no, but just in keeping with why it's important to have hope and be encouraged is because a PCS takes a toll on an Army wife, and you both know that. You know, like you said earlier, you thought you had it on the first one, but the second one hit harder. I've had an Army wife say to me, you know, we've PCS'd 12 times, and I thought I had this, and then, you know, I realized on the 12th one I was falling apart. You leave everything that is familiar behind to face the unfamiliar, and as a woman, you have lost that sense of community, that sense of self, and that identity, and you leave behind a place where, you know, everybody on post knew your name practically, so to speak, and you go to, you know, a place where you literally have to start over, and that takes a toll emotionally. You know, packing and unpacking, reliving memories, adjustment to a new post, all of that is, you know, sometimes kind of beats us down. And then if your husband's deployed and you don't have anybody to, you know, talk to, or at least somebody there with you that at least is walking through it, you are really alone. So it is difficult, whether you're, you know, whether you're retired, whether you're active duty, a PCS is difficult.
You know, Susan, I could not relate any more to this show with you right now than ever, because I recently just, like I said earlier in the show, my husband's deployed, and I've been struggling with some, we just PCS'd here actually in the fall last year, so I'm still getting used to the joint, but I think, one, I need to get in on this ministry, Operation Hope. I need to get in, I need to find somewhere near me and just get into it because I need that in my life. But I felt like I really needed to just go and follow you on like everything, your website, your Twitter, everything right now, because I need to plug myself in, because, you know, these kinds of things are difficult, like you said, and I found myself recently, I lost my way in my faith, and I am just starting to rekindle that fire with my faith again, and I'm not going to get emotional, so I'm just going to go ahead and ask my question that I've got for you.
I'm not going to get emotional either, okay, Courtney? But I wish I was there to hold you real tight right now.
So I really think that after a PCS, so the actual finding out your PCS thing, like, oh my goodness, right? You hit that wall, and then the PCS comes, and that's difficult in itself, the actual journey. But what do you think are some of the biggest struggles that women face after moving or after PCS, and what is the three-step process that you take a woman through in your book?
Well, I think that three of the biggest struggles a woman faces is internally, and that's the emotions of being, of feeling lonely, of fear, and of feeling like that she's got to begin again. You know, the emotions of that loneliness, that fear, and that anxiety of, what do I do now? Where do I begin? The fear of, if your husband's on, you know, TDY or deployed, all of the fear of the unknown, as well as the loneliness that sets in, and of being you, as well as not having your husband, like you said before, under the same roof. Those are some of the struggles. We are great. Women are great at handling, you know, the big things, the tasks that we need to do when we PCS, it's, we can check it off. But boy, I tell you, when you come into your house at night and close the door, it's you and that fear. It's you and that loneliness. And that's a real struggle that a woman faces. And what we do in the book, as well as in the study, is take a woman through the process of letting go and trusting God, and what that looks like, and how to learn the difference between what you cherish and you cling, and, you know, how to begin to let go, and how to begin to trust more, and then to start over with hope and move forward with faith. Those are the three things. It's a domino effect. You've got to do one, and then, you know, next comes starting over, and next comes moving forward. And it's about trust and hope and faith. But I give you the practical tools of what that looks like in your marriage, and in it being a mom, in friendship, in loneliness, in your image, self-image, you know, in recreating your home, making it a home instead of a house, all those things that are, that we deal with as women, as part of that process. So hopefully they are tools that will equip you and help you be brave and strong.
Yes. And we're going to be discussing it in the next segment, but the difference between clinging to and cherishing, really struck a chord with me the last couple of sessions, and it was just, for me, so helpful, because it doesn't mean that we are that we can't love what we left behind. Like, it's, for me, it's my grandson and my granddaughter. But I can cherish them, but to cling to them, actually, you know, the difference between that and how I can cherish them without clinging to them and still be a great, or I should say a wonderful grandma. I'm not a great grandma, not even close. But anyway, so that, I love how you define that in the book. But Susan, we do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about the luggage tags that you talk about that a woman wears after a PCS.
I can hardly wait. I just want to talk nonstop. Forget the break.
Yes. Well, it'll be very short because I'll be ready
okay.
to get back to this. So,
okay, you promise?
Yes. It'll be about a 2-minute break.
Okay.
Through our health minute, and so we will be right
sure.
back.
Alrighty.
And we will be announcing the winners of the giveaway. You're giving away 2 copies of your book After the Boxes Are Unpacked and 2 copies of But Mom, I Don't Want to Move. So right after this break, we'll be announcing those winners.
Great, great. We'll talk to you in a minute.
All right. We'll be back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah, and on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, this is your Army Medicine, Be As Healthy As You Can Be, Health Minute. March is Brain Injury Awareness Month. According to the CDC, more than 3 million concussions occur each year in the United States, and 64,000 of those patients are age 14 and younger. A concussion is a type of mild traumatic brain injury, MTBI, caused by a bump, blow, or jolt to the head or body that causes the head and brain to move rapidly back and forth, stretching and damaging brain cells. Full recovery is expected in patients that have sustained MTBIs. However, MTBIs could have serious effects on young, developing brains. Anyone who has potentially sustained a concussion should be removed from activity and observed for dizziness, unsteadiness, feeling foggy, dazed, confused, nausea, headache, fatigue, or just not feeling right. Anyone experiencing these symptoms should be evaluated by a healthcare provider. For more information, visit www.dvbic.dcoe.mil. Army Medicine, one team, one purpose, conserving the fighting strength since 1775.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Promised. We made the break as short as possible. Welcome back to the show. Before we get back to Susan this evening, it's time to announce the winners of our giveaway. Susan is generously giving away 2 copies of her book, After the Boxes Are Unpacked, as well as copies of But Mom, I Don't Want to Move. Names were randomly selected from the entries on our giveaway Facebook post earlier today. So without further ado, Courtney, who's our first 2 winners?
Well, I'm so jealous because I wish one of the winners was myself, but the first 2 winners of Susan Miller's book, After the Boxes Are Unpacked, are, drumroll please, Holly Nicholson and Chanel Harris. Congratulations.
And the winners of But Mom, I Don't Want to Move are Damaris Schuler and Tessa Rivera.
Woo! Congratulations to all the winners this evening. We will be getting in touch with you to obtain your mailing addresses so that your book can be sent out to you ASAP.
Yes.
Yes, indeed, well, and I'll even autograph it. How about that?
Awesome.
You know what they say, you get more at a garage sale if a book is autographed. Now, don't you dare do that, but...
Trust me, once you start reading the books, you will want to highlight and earmark, and I go back for reference in my book all the time. So, well, Susan, we were talking about the three-step process that you take a woman through in your book, which is letting go, starting over, and moving forward. What are the luggage tags that a woman wears after a move, as you refer to in your book?
Well, you know, I like to refer to, since we always have suitcase, we'll travel, or have box, we'll move, I always like to refer to the visual of what an emotional luggage tag is. And a luggage tag is something that keeps, you know, that goes on a suitcase or a tag that is on a box. And many times we wear that emotional luggage tag and it becomes an encumbrance. It keeps us from letting go and starting over and moving forward. And it is an emotion or a feeling that we have to identify. And, of course, we do that in the study and as I take, you know, someone through it in the book to understand that it's that stuff that you wear. You know, I wear worry well. That's a luggage tag for Susan Miller. And, you know, a luggage tag can be worn whether you're PCS or not, but that's what it is. It's an emotional luggage tag that keeps you from letting go or starting over or moving forward. And it could be, for example, anger. You could be harboring anger because you didn't want a PCS and you don't like this post, or, you know, or you're angry at your husband, or, you know, maybe it is that fear of the unknown. And that's a luggage tag that you need to replace with the confidence and the trust and, you know, the fact that you trust God, that you have faith in Him, that He will help you release that. And it, you know, acknowledging it is huge. It could be a loss of identity. It could be a hurt or feeling inadequate, any number of things. And everyone wears different emotional luggage tags. So that's what they are.
And I noticed that with each of my PCSs that the luggage tag has been, I mean, there's been a couple that maybe has followed me to each,
you bet,
you know, the same feeling that resurfaces. But also I've noticed that I'll pick up a different one. Like,
yeah,
my first one was loss of identity, but this time it was more of an anger. Like, I wouldn't say angry, but, you know, where I wasn't very thrilled.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what happens is when you add one and don't take one off, they become tangled. And then it's really hard to let them go because they become tangled together and it holds you back all the more. And have you ever been frustrated trying to pull up two or three or four or five luggage tags off of luggage? And so that's important. I'm glad you brought that up.
That is a good visual, too. That is a good visual.
So I challenge
the listeners.
No, I was just going to say, I challenge the listeners to identify their emotional luggage tags.
I feel like this is something we could journal about, that I could journal about.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I do that while I'm listening to, like, a podcast or music or something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like I could listen to your voice all day long.
Well, hey, just call me anytime. I'm always available.
You better be careful what you wish for, because I may do that. But I want to ask you a question between these two words. Cherish and clean. So what is the difference between the two words, cherish and clean, when you've moved or when you've PCS'd?
Yes, indeed. And, you know, to cherish means, the dictionary definition is to hold in mind, to treasure, to value highly, where cling means to clutch, cleave, hold on to, grab hold of. Now, if you apply those definitions to moving, you want to cherish what was. You want to cling to what is and never changes. Cherish what you left behind. Cling to what you brought with you. And that's huge, because it doesn't mean that you have to forget or let go of what you love that you left behind. It just means that if you continue to cling to that person or place, it will keep you from starting over and from moving forward. And so just cherish it. Think of, oh, I cherish, rather than clinging to. You would cherish family you left behind, or friends, or the job, or the house you loved, or the post you loved, or, you know, just cling to our unchanging God and God's truth and promises, and open that Bible and get in there and cling to His word and cling to your faith. And so that's a quick brushstroke to discern the difference of what you are cherishing and what you're clinging to.
Oh, good word. And that was really a pivotal, I mean, it was an eye-opener for me that I can still cherish what I left behind, but cling to, like, my family that I have with me. And it kind of made me refocus and change how I look at moves now. But the other thing that I noticed, and this was actually the interview with you 2 years ago, was the first time I had heard that it's normal to grieve after PCS.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an eye-opener for me. Why do mm-hmm. we grieve when we move?
Well, a PCS, a move, is a loss. A loss is a change. And any change and any loss can bring grief into your life, because you are... we are emotional beings, and with women, we put down roots, and when we're uprooted, that is a loss, and that is a change. And so it is normal to grieve, and it's all part of that process to go through that is very normal. I always say to women, and I say it in the book, you're not weird and you're not crazy. You know, it's okay to cry. Then I add a tagline to that: as long as you don't get stuck in grief, as long as you don't get stuck in crying all the time. That's why it's important to begin to let go and start over and move forward. So, you know, you'll go through denial, you might go through anger, some sadness, and then finally, hey, this, I've got to get my new license plate. This is where we're going to be living. You know, it is what it is. So, but that all has to come through the process of, you know, of grieving many times.
So
does that make sense?
Yes, of course. I think so, because I mean, grief is part of recovery.
It is.
So, right. So I mean, I'm going through that right now. My father is an alcoholic. He's in rehab. He's in a rehab center right now as we speak, going through a 30-day program. And part of his recovery process is grief over the time he's lost and the relationships,
mm-hmm.
as, you know, things like that. So yeah, grief is part of recovery.
It absolutely is.
Mm-hmm. So what are some tips, other than giving yourself time to grieve, what are some practical tips to help you settle in and just adjust to a new place and area?
Well, are you talking about for your home, or are you talking about for the area? Well, I mean, I've got tips. I have survival kits behind, or survival tips behind each chapter. And so I can take you anywhere you want to go. I can help you.
I mean, girlfriend, I can talk to you for 2 hours if you want me.
I could help you unpack your survival box, because, you know, we all have to have that survival box, and help you make your house a home. Or I could help you unpack and help you personally bloom. I love some of the things you were talking about in self-care. And that's all part of some ways that you can begin to bloom. So you just tell me where you want to go to help your life run smoothly and be more organized.
Well, how about the general area? The post they don't like.
Okay, first of all, get outside that post and explore the area. You know, make it a big adventure with your kids. You know, we're going on a big adventure. Let's map out some of the things we want to see or do in the area and make it an adventure. Begin to appreciate the area and the surroundings you live in. And I know there are people listening that said, that will say, oh, Susan, if only you knew that I live in Podunk, USA. And there's nothing here.
Amen.
But you can find something. You can find a pretty sunset or a sunrise or maybe the kind of flowers that bloom there or something, the culture, the food. There's something about it that is positive. And you need to, number one, dwell on the positive and not the negative, because your children will catch it. And if you're negative and you're always putting it down, they're going to pick it up and they're going to do the same thing. And so, you know, you are the catalyst for your home. And so, you know, you've got to begin somewhere. And the first, you know, maybe it's just reinventing your home and not putting the furniture in the same place and kind of changing it up a little bit. Or maybe it's, you know, starting that study that you're talking about, Crystal, or getting involved in one, or any study, or you know, start a book club, or just start a, hey, we're new, let's get together for coffee. You have to be an initiator. You've got to get up and get out. You've got to take off those sweats, put on those jeans, put on that lipstick or whatever, no lipstick, but get out of your house. Don't sit there and dwell in it, but move on from it. And, you know, just be, put a welcome mat at the front door. Get out and meet people in the, you know, in the coffee shop or wherever. You just need to be an initiator and join up and join in. That would be my first steps.
I love that. And that is so true, because the only one, you know, we've got to kind of help ourselves move on. We can't wait for, you know, something to come along and you know, we need to be motivated to change ourselves and change our outlook. And so I was thinking, Courtney, you know, maybe that's your call to action, is to start your own after the boxes study where you're at.
That's probably true. I was telling Crystal how that this show has probably come at the best time, and that maybe that is a sign. Maybe, you know, God is showing me this show in a way to help with the rekindle of my faith, and also with maybe new opportunities to seek out, you know, being able to start a group with that or something to just get me out of the house, right? Get me out of the house, or bring people into my home and share that with them as well. So, right.
Well, and that's, you know, the best way to meet other new PCSers are through this study, because once the word gets out that it's for, you know, newcomers, for movers, then, you know, that's such a catalyst for meeting other new women, and they're in as new friendships. So,
right.
You know, the sooner that you can make new friends, the better it will be.
Right. That is so true. And I've been surprised at how much that I can identify with every lady in the study, you know, because we come from very different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Some were military brats before, and some, this was their very first PCS. But we all have the one thing in common, is that we've been uprooted. And so it's been a great experience so far, and we're only session five into it to just, it's bonding. It really is. It's hard not to feel close to each other and make new friendships through the study when you're sharing about your luggage tags and, you know, the cherishing and clinging and letting go and starting over, moving forward. It's just, it's been such a fantastic study. And I'm so grateful to Operation Hope for providing that so that we can continue on and have the video series even in the here and now. It has been such a great blessing. Well, Susan, would you share with us? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, because, honey, I could give you encouragement and hope all night long. So you go ahead and ask me the questions, and I'll try to keep within the framework of that.
Well, I was going to ask you, in closing, do you have some words of hope and encouragement that you could offer to someone who is recently PCS'd or getting ready to PCS? And then would you share with us your website and where listeners can go to get a copy of your books?
I will. Regardless of your circumstances, cling to God's faithfulness. All of you listeners out there, cling to God's faithfulness. Trust Him for what you don't know, for what you don't understand, or you can't see. Because difficult or devastating PCSs can hit you hard, knock you off your feet, and leave you breathless. And so I would encourage you, all of you, to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Dust off your dancing shoes. You can do it, as Crystal says, that she keeps telling herself. Lace up those walking shoes. You can make it. Put those stilettos back on. Get them out of the closet. Believe in yourself and stand up straight and face the day head on, knowing that you walk in God's strength and in His grace and mercy. Because let me tell you something, the issues and problems and trials in your life will constantly change, but God will never change. And He is our anchor in the storm and our lighthouse to guide us when we cannot see what lies ahead. And you can reach me through justmove.org. That is our website. You can find out about Operation Hope at justmove.org. You can Facebook me. And, oh, I love Facebook. It's my connection to all of you around the world. I have a podcast. I encourage you. I have a blog. It's all on my website.
Oh, thank goodness. I do podcast
and blog. Okay?
Thank goodness. Now I can listen to your voice whenever I want to.
Well, you'll like the latest blog. You need to read it, especially right now, I think. So I am connected to you and available. You can reach me through justmove.org. But do check out my blogs and my podcast and Facebook me. Let me know you heard the broadcast and you want to be connected.
Fantastic. Well, Susan, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It has been so incredibly encouraging and uplifting
and inspiring.
So thank you so much.
Well, I just don't want to leave. I love you too. And I just, my goodness, I'm going to be depressed when we hang up.
Me too.
Well, we're available to you.
Well, listen, God bless you both. And what you're doing is such a worthy thing to encourage women who are out there that need the words that you speak into their lives and their hearts. So bless you for what you're both doing.
Bless you,
and
too.
And let's stay in touch. Hey, let's stay in touch, okay?
We would love
Crystal.
To have you back on again. This is timeless information. It really is.
Well, hey, we can get into marriage in one session or one time. We can get into being a mom and parenting. We can get into all kind of things about
Crystal, we can just go ahead and book the rest of 2018, okay?
Hey, listen, bless you both. Take care, okay?
Thanks. Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
And listeners, thank you for tuning in.
Be sure to tune in next Monday, March 12, 2018, when our featured guest will be Gina Allegata from Wink Women Incorporated. It's going to be another encouraging and empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors. Or follow along on any of our social media outlets, such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
We are your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. We'll be right back.